Annabelle, the infamous Raggedy Ann believed by many to house a demonic force, is once again the focus of fear, headlines, and speculation after the sudden tragic death of the curator responsible for her public exhibition. But was this simply coincidence, or did something affect him from the supernatural? Tonight, we're going to confront the terrifying legacy of one of the world's most feared haunted objects. Joe Franke, the founder of the Warren Society and a former protege of Ed and Lorraine Warren, returns to pull back the curtain on the truth behind Annabelle and the dark toll these artifacts can take on those who guard them. Is the evil real, or have we just given it a name? Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Joe Franke. Joe, thanks so much for being here with me again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
This was a tragedy. Dan Rivera, longtime friend of yours, he was traveling with the Warren Museum and curator of these items, and suddenly and sadly, he passed away in Gettysburg after one of the events. There was a lot of exposure. I mean, more, I think, for Dan Rivera than I've seen for even some well-known celebrities that have passed away in recent times. Yep. Because of his association with the Annabelle doll and the Warren legacy and foundation. But I wanted to talk to somebody, you, about this, because there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of fear mongering and a lot of things that are being said that just aren't true. And I wanted to get your take on it, because I know the Warren Foundation has taken a hit. People are thinking that, you know, talking about it is kind of cashing in on this and turning it into a must see. Now you have to go to the museums to see these. You have to go to these locations because look what it just did. And I'm not seeing that. I'm not sensing that from the people involved. So I wanted to give you a chance on our show and on this format to kind of talk about that a little bit, Joe.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, obviously I'm in shock. We're all in shock about this tragic news. I mentioned it a little bit before the show. I mean, Dan was just at my house here. We went out to lunch, had a great time. We were out on the deck for a few hours, just, you know, chewing the fat, catching up. You know, I've known him for, you know, probably about 17, 18 years now, and I'm just in shock. And I've heard a lot of the speculation of which you speak, and it hurts me because, you know, we want to honor his memory and respect the family and their privacy.
Right.
But I know there's a lot of people out there in social media influencers, people that may want to try and cash in on this. And I think that's disgusting. I mean, and to be honest with you, this is the first time I've talked about it publicly. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but I actually did a lecture last week, and I was, you know, I was expecting questions doing my Q&A. People were very respectful, and only one couple came up to me afterwards and brought it up. And I basically said to them, I said, listen, out of respect for the memory of Dan, my friend, and the family, I'm not going to have any comment on that. But to think that an inanimate object such as a doll could kill somebody, kill a human being. You know, I remember having these conversations with Ed long ago when he was alive. And of course, you know, what happened with the doll, as I understand it, I was only 2 years old when this case came to light, was anytime you feed into these things and give them what Ed used to call recognition, you know, there's always the chance that there's going to be some kind of physical or even psychological manifestation. Now, you know, Dan was a seasoned investigator. He knew what he was doing. You know, Dan, like me, you know, this was a vocation, not an occupation. And he loved doing it. He loved sharing with the world the work of the Warrens and some of the artifacts. The doll itself, I've had a long history of it back in the day. I haven't seen the doll in many years now since Lorraine passed. I haven't really been to the house. But, you know, I remember what Ed taught me. And he's like, you know, Ed, and Lorraine would even say, you know, the doll itself is not the problem. It's when people conjure, you know, when people use forms of divination like Ouija boards and seances and tarot cards. And there's a danger to that. You know, not to say there's not a danger, you know, looking after these artifacts because they can't hold vibrations. But I don't look at it as like, you know, Hollywood's version of Chucky where he chases people around with a knife, you know.
Right. And I think that's where people are having a trouble are having trouble discerning, because again, they forget that yes, the Conjuring movies are based on the real life cases of Ed and Lorraine Warren. And that's it. These are the stories that they worked on. And then Hollywood has their way with the story.
Yeah.
So you have to realize that. And they've made an entire branch of the Conjuring movies just dedicated to Annabelle, because dolls frighten people. They are a great fodder for supernatural affliction. Right. But now, you know, in one sense we say, well, listen, it's just an inanimate object. It's nothing dangerous. But Ed and Lorraine were pretty adamant about keeping Annabelle in her case. Do not open the case. Do not remove it. That begets a sense of fear and danger.
Right.
So there is that element of it that is based in the reality, and then what you see in the TV and movies. So I understand some of the confusion and the fact that people have a hard time separating characters they see in a film from reality, and especially when the film characters are based on real people and cases that they actually worked on. But again, it's important to know we can't just dismiss summarily the death of a very good man because of an evil doll. We can't just, you know, put the blame on the supernatural. You know, my father never saw the Annabelle doll, never was around the Annabelle doll, and recently passed with no, you know, hint that he was ill, nothing wrong. But was it because he watched all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, or he watched, you know, we want a boogeyman. We want to be able to point the finger and say, this doesn't make sense. So therefore it must have been paranormal.
Yeah. It must have been something
normal. Yeah.
And again, my deepest condolences to you for your dad, you and your family. That I know what that feels like, and it's not good. But yeah, I mean, the doll itself, let me put it this way, and this is all based on faith. And my faith tells me God would not allow a human spirit to inhabit an inanimate object such as a doll. And that's the whole story of Annabelle was started because these nurses that owned the doll, the nurse that owned the doll and her roommate, treated the doll, gave it a lot of recognition, treated the doll like a human being. It's cute. You know, they used to buy it clothes and jewelry, and they would set the doll at the table with them when they have dinner. Okay, it seems harmless enough, but then they went further. You know, they gave it a lot of recognition, and the doll would move, and they witnessed the doll move, and from what Ed tells the story, the doll's arms one day levitated onto the table. And this is a Raggedy Ann doll. The dolls can't do that. You know, so they were intrigued. Yes, were they frightened? I'm sure they were, but they were more intrigued. So they go, well, hey, so-and-so at work is a psychic medium. Let's do a seance. Bad idea. So they did it. They did not only did one, but they did a series of them. And that's where I talk about doorways. I think they opened a doorway there. And the demonic, you know, these negative influences and the evil spirits, whatever you want to call them, they're there waiting to pounce. You know, they're just waiting for you to crack that door open them and invite them in of your own free will. As you know, we all have that.
And sometimes, you know, in a cavalier way, we do that, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we mistakenly open those doors, not realizing the danger, or thinking we're smarter, we're braver, we're stronger than we are. And when you open the doors to negativity, it can affect you. Depression is the same thing, folks. It's a form of evil that you allow into your heart and into your mind. And I know you're going to say, but Dave, it's an affliction, it's a sickness. It is, but you can let it build and grow by feeding it. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back more with Joe Franke. We've got more things to discuss, more things to consider. Welcome back to the program. Thank you very much for tuning into your home for all things strange and supernatural. This is the Paranormal 360. Joe Franke is the CEO of the Warren Foundation, and he is here talking to us about the tragedy that took place recently with Dan Rivera, a paranormal investigator, researcher, and somebody who really loved the history and keeping alive the spirit and memories of what Ed and Lorraine Warren were really about, which was exploration, seeking truth, and trying to help people that were in a place of need. Dan passed away, sadly, in his, I believe it was his hotel room, if I remember correctly, Joe, right?
And, that's what I was told,
But it's imperative for people to know this had nothing to do with a demonic doll. It had nothing to do with the supernatural. But there are elements of dealing with these things that do leave us open to physical and mental attack. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So how can we, you know, the lay public out here, how can they differentiate or determine what is truly going to be a trouble for them or what is nothing more than fantasy and fabrication that's just taken on a life of its own?
And that's a good question. It's, you know, someone can be afflicted by a psychological issue and also have a demonic issue. And a lot of times, many times, especially in modern day, it gets misdiagnosed or it gets written off as, oh, they've got schizophrenia. They got some form of psychosis. And, you know, I'm going back 50 years, but look at Annalise Michel. You know, that poor girl, right. She was a very devout Catholic family. You know, I feel that she was chosen, like almost like a martyr. And she felt that way too. But, you know, she didn't dabble in this. She didn't play with Ouija boards or anything, at least not to my knowledge, not from the research I've done on it. But I talk about these cases in my talks. And, you know, it's hard to differentiate sometimes, especially for the untrained person. You know, these people that had the doll originally were just, you know, just treating it like a doll, like a member of the family, you know, but they were giving it that recognition, and somewhere they opened that door and something evil stepped in. And, you know, then the stories were, you know, the doll was seen, you know, standing, that they would leave the doll on the bed and they'd come home and find it in the living room, things like that. And the nurses would blame each other, think they're playing pranks on each other, but no, they didn't. And then it got scary. Then it turned violent where, you know, one of the boyfriends, I guess, had a dream. He woke up with a start that this doll was actually choking him and attacking him. And he got up and grabbed the doll, throws it across the room, and then seven slashes appear across his chest. We call psychic slashes. And, you know, I'm just regurgitating the stories that were told to me. But, you know, my point is that if we're going to give recognition to these things, or, you know, things like using a Ouija board, and you don't even need to have an object, you're opening a door to things that you can't possibly comprehend. All right. I've been doing this myself 40 years and I'm still learning every day.
You know? Why tour items like this? Because people put their perceptions on it. People put their fears on it. They hang that. And I know that's part of the flack that you and other haunted museums are taking right now and dealing with these legacy pieces, is if there is a danger, why populate? Why make it more accessible to people?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I don't have anything personally to do with the museum or the items or the tour. I know Ed Warren wanted the world to know about these items and the dangers to educate them, which is exactly what I'm trying to do with the Warren Society for Research and Education, is to educate people on the dangers and the misconceptions. I can't really answer why they chose to tour these items. And obviously that's easy for people to say, well, look, if you didn't have it on tour, this wouldn't have happened. I don't believe that. I know that, you know, the family very respectfully was trying to bring people to the museum so they could see the items in a safe environment. The items were contained and there were prayers and everything to protect and all that. However, from what I understand, years ago, the town shut that down because of where the museum was located at the Warren's home, on a cul-de-sac. You know, you'd get 30, 40, 50 cars out there.
Right.
And the neighbors complained, and I hope I'm getting this right, but this is a story I've heard from the family. You know, the neighbors started complaining, there's cars out here, and then it becomes a safety issue. What if you got to get emergency crews in there? One of the neighbors has a medical emergency, and you have all these cars. So the town, I guess, told the family they couldn't have this kind of stuff going on. So if you can't bring people to the items, I guess it's the next step is to bring the items to the people. I personally probably wouldn't have done that. I know, you know, Ed had mentioned to me that his wishes that, yes, he wanted to share this stuff with the world. But I do remember him saying, at least on one or two occasions, that, Joe, these items will never leave this museum. You know, they're here and they'll stay here. Now, you know, I'm not judging. I'm not knocking the family that decided to tour it. But I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I understand Dan, you know, passed away peacefully. I always tell people, look for a natural explanation first. I don't know Dan's medical history. Maybe he had underlying medical issues that he didn't even know about. And it was just coincidental, that it happened. It's tragic. He was only, God, he was younger than I am. And believe me, this has made me think a lot about my mortality. I'm very
Right.
careful when I handle objects like this. I know John Zaffis is my friend John. I know Dan was very smart about this. But to blatantly say, "Oh, look, the doll killed him." I mean, no, that's not what happened. I'll never believe that anyway. Well, we'll never know for sure. I don't know if the family decided to have an autopsy or found a cause of death, and that's really none of my business. If the family decides to share that with me, that's fine. But for people to go out there and just say, "Yo, see, look what happens," I believe me, I've seen the comments. I've got probably 100 messages on my phone. I'm just like, I'm not commenting. I'm not commenting. It's not my place. I want to be respectful. I'm glad you're doing this in a very respectful way and professional way. But, when people ask me my opinion, no, I don't believe the doll had anything to do with it.
But yeah, we talk about the fact that there are stories revolving around this doll of it physically attacking people, scratching them psychically, choking them, moving about on its own. So, again, we understand where the fascination with this comes from, where the fear comes from.
But it wasn't the doll itself. It was something manipulating it. And in my opinion, that's demonic because human spirits can move a doll, they could push it over, but they can't jump into it and inhabit that doll. That's my belief.
Right.
Okay, that's based on my faith and my beliefs.
But now you've got a bunch of artifacts that have got stories attached to them, stories that are very creepy for most people, most people. And then you add to it the fear and anxiety and stress people bring to these items. I mean, look, Zach Bagans has a museum in Las Vegas. It's very well received, very well loved. There's somebody blacking out once a week, it seems like they're falling down. Do we blame it on the paranormal or do we blame it on the anxiety that the
A lot
people
of it,
bring
right.
forward?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're right. It's psychosomatic.
Right.
They go in with that expectation, and that fear was probably so great. They built up this anxiety that they passed out. That's how I would explain it, not knowing anything about it. But I've handled a lot of objects that have had attachments to them and things like that, and I've handled them carefully. I actually have some here. I don't have a museum myself, but I have a few items I've removed for people.
Let's
And
do this.
some items,
We have to take our quick
okay.
break. We'll come back with more Joe Franke and more thoughts about the responsibility of investigators, of people that are trying to share history. Where do we go from here? We'll do that next.
A vampire in Rhode Island?
A UFO crash in Connecticut?
A flying moose in Maine?
A haunted bridge that calls your name?
New England is weird.
Really weird.
Wicked Strange by Jeff Belanger and Frank Grace is your ticket to the bizarre. Ghosts, monsters, urban legends, and roadside oddities you won't believe until you see them.
So pre-order now on Amazon. It drops September 2nd.
Assuming the Black Dog of West Peak doesn't get you first.
Let's get strange.
Wicked Strange. Pre-order your copy now on Amazon.
It's important to understand where we came from. It's important to understand the way that paranormal investigating has evolved. And that's a big reason that Joe Franke is out there with this education and doing these things to bring us into a new enlightened age, to take what has been taught in the past and that we've learned from Hans Holzers and D. Scott Rogos and Ed and Lorraine Warren, and make them accessible to a new generation of explorers that are fascinated by this. Obviously, this isn't meant for everybody, Joe. Not everybody should feel this. And you brought up a great point earlier. This wasn't this was a vocation. It wasn't just meaning something that called you into service to do these kind of things and teach. This isn't just a hobby. This is not nothing that should be taken lightly.
Exactly. I mean, Lorraine Warren spoke those words to me when I first met her. She said, "Honey, I can tell by your aura you were meant to do this work. Would you like to come and work with Ed and I?" So I felt this was a calling, a vocation. It's not an occupation. you know, and I don't look at it as that way. It's a journey, and I'm still learning every single day. I don't know everything. I don't profess to know everything, you know, but I know enough to try to educate people, and that's what I'm doing with the society, is continuing the work of my mentors by trying to educate people and say, this isn't for everybody, you know, and unfortunately, you know, with social media today and all YouTube and TikTok right. and all that stuff, you know, I'm not a ghost hunter. I'm a ghost helper. That's what I say. I'm out to help spirits, whether they're living or dead. But when people think it's cool that, you know, they come up against a demon or they say they do, I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, I've dealt in cases with real demonic activity, and it's scary as hell. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a human being. I don't have a big S on my shirt and a red cape. I'm a human being, and I'll admit to you right now, in your audience, I've got some serious medical issues of my own. I've got a heart issue. I've got a failing liver, and I don't drink. I'm willing to start, but you know, I don't. You know, I have a failing liver. I'm a cancer survivor. Am I to turn around and blame this on the demonic, on the work that I've been doing? No. I mean, I've got it. And if you try to explain it rationally, on both sides of my family, there was heart issues and liver issues. However, I have had these discussions with my doctor and said, you know, I do believe, a part of me at least, that some of these ailments may be due to some of the work I've done. You know, I mean, we'll never know the answer to that. Not in this lifetime anyway. But I'm open to the concept that, you know, the idea that there is some truth to that. And well, in Dan's case, there may be some truth to it as well, but we'll never know. But to go out and blatantly say, oh, you know, it's because of the doll, the evil doll. Look, if there's still something attached to that doll, I don't know. I haven't seen it or held it in many, many years. Would I be able to tell? Maybe, you know, but to err on the side of abundance of caution and safety, yeah, I would keep the doll away from people.
And evil may not be what took Dan Rivera's life or had taken the life of, you know, Mark and Debbie Constantino.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Right. Oh my God. We want to ascribe evil or demonic forces behind it. And I don't believe that they're necessarily attached to those deaths, but I do believe that evil will glom onto it and they will take, it will take ownership of it because it knows it's propagating more fear and it's getting from you exactly what it wants. So it may not have been responsible, but it's not opposed to raising its hand and going, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. And to be someone, and there's people out there doing it now, for people to jump on that fear bandwagon and try to profit from it, whether it be likes, whether it be views, whether it be monetary, I just think that's an abomination. And I want no part of that, obviously, but you know, all I want to do is educate people. There are a lot of people doing this work right now that shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, in my humble opinion, you know, there's a lot of people doing this work that do great work. You know, I've got a lot of friends and colleagues, even like yourself, that know what they're doing. They're educated and they're careful. But there are people that just throw caution to the wind and it's like, oh, this is the gates of hell. Why don't you just rise up and get me? And I'm like, you know, you just opened the door of your own free will. You think these demonic forces are going to say, I was just kidding. No, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
I've just seen too much in my life. And, I sometimes get frustrated. I look at my wife and say, yeah, I can't do this anymore. But then I stop myself and say, yes, I can.
And that's exactly what the evil wants, you to stop educating people and helping people figure out how to protect themselves. So it's important. Yeah, it's important that we continue to try to do this. You know, it's something I've wrestled with for almost 20 years. I want to educate people. I want to take people on a journey and an adventure to have an awakening outside of themselves, to break them from the shell of the mundane, to realize how magical the world is around us. And some days I wonder, but at what cost? Does it put people down the wrong path? And you and I have both watched people become obsessive and they spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on equipment. And
it's an addiction.
They're living out of their car because they can't afford it, but they won't stop. And you watch people de-evolve. Now, again, some of it has to fall on the responsibility of the person making these decisions, but we're also, you know, are we, by opening this door to talk about it, are we possibly enticing people into a realm that they shouldn't be?
I'm just trying to encourage people to get educated. Mm-hmm. You know, people mock what they don't understand.
Right.
And they do that because they're fearful, but a lot of people like that fear. They eat it like candy. And, you know, it's like you said, you know, they're addicted to it and they won't stop. It's like gambling. You go out, you buy a scratch-off ticket, you win $20. You go and buy another one, you win another $20. When do you stop? You know, when do you stop? It's gambling, anything that's addiction, you know, drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, even pornography, you know? And I don't say that to be funny, but this is exactly what I talk about in my lectures. And I say, I give real life examples, examples that I've lived through, examples that my mentors lived through, you know, and I talk about Hollywood versus reality, you know, because Hollywood, once they get their talents in these things, they take a lot of liberties. That's why we say based on a true story, very loosely based.
Right. And we found these stories all along. And you know, it's interesting when you talk to the survivors of the real life encounters, how dramatically different their story is from what they've seen in Hollywood. But in a lot of these cases, they tell me, Dave, what they put in Hollywood was silly, ridiculous stuff. What we experienced was even more terrifying. And I never can understand why they didn't tell the real story.
I've always said, if you just told the story the way it really happened, it's far more terrifying.
We've got one more segment together, Joe Franke and I, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the paranormal awakening, educating yourself. And I know there are many of you that want to take the next evolutionary steps to understand it. How can you do that? Who should you trust? Joe Franke is a great guy to go to for this, somebody to start teaching you, educating you, and giving you the strength, the fortitude, and understanding to make the wisest choices when going forward. So we'll talk with Joe a little bit more about that when we return right here to the Paranormal 360.
How are you, Darklings? This is Mark Lanoue, innovator, musician, world traveler, and no stranger to the paranormal. Come take a journey with me through this place we call life by picking up my new book, Reality Was Once the Tapestry of the Dreamer. It is available at Barnes & Noble online and will soon be available through other vendors. Get your copy by following the link in this ad or by visiting my official website at markallenlanoue.com.
All right, Joe, I'm somebody who's interested in the paranormal. I've watched a bunch of the TV shows. I've read a bunch of books. Am I ready yet to go into the field and just start investigating and going into old cemeteries and old crypts and old buildings? Because I've watched Zach and Jason and Grant and Dave Schrader and Cindy Kaza and Shane Pittman on the Holzer Files and the upcoming series Paranormal Mysteries soon to appear on Stream Beacon TV. But jokingly, I say that, but you know, people come to me all the time and that's their whole education. That would be like me saying, hey, Joe, I don't know if I told you, but I've deemed myself the sheriff of the town I live in because I watched a lot of Dukes of Hazzard. I watched a lot of
Starsky and Hutch.
You know, I think I know a little thing about the law and I would like to just, you know, you can't just do that. Hey, I watched a lot of Marcus Welby. I don't think you're ready for me to deliver your baby or to do open heart surgery on you, right? So just because you're familiar with it on TV doesn't mean you should just jump in because it's something that fascinates you. You should start educating. So what do you do? What could people expect if they contact Joe and the education and things that you guys are offering?
Well, for the first thing, you know, and this is maybe a little harsh, but people need to check their egos. You know, there are people out there that may have been doing this 2 or 3 years and they think they know everything. And, you know, I'm good. I know what I'm doing. Okay. You know, I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to waste my time or energy. But there's an old phrase I use from Clint Eastwood. It's like a man's got to know his limitations.
Right.
So television, movies, YouTube, TikTok is not education. Unless you're watching something educational, but watching these TV shows, they're made for entertainment purposes, you know, and I'm a big jokester myself. I make, you know, when I lecture, I joke around, but then it's time to get serious.
Right.
And what I tell people, because people are saying, Joe, I honestly feel a calling. I want to help people. I said, then educate yourself, do the right thing. You know, I put in 40 years. It was probably a good 2 years before Ed Warren let me go on a case by myself because I wasn't ready. The haunting in Connecticut case, the house, is about 15 minutes from where I live as the crow flies. And I remember Ed saying it was 1986 when that case came to light. And that's when I met Ed and Lorraine. I was fresh out of high school, 18 years old. I remember Ed said, he goes, you know, kid, he goes, I got a really bad case up right up where you live in your neighborhood. He goes, but you're not ready for it yet. And he's right. That was a case that John Zaffis worked on, you know, with the family. And it was terrifying. And it was real. But then all the haters out there, oh, you made the story up. Oh, you were behind on your rent. You made this all up. Like, even Amityville. Oh, yeah, you know, I fled my house with nothing but the clothes on my back in hopes that a couple years from now I'll write a book and make $1 million. People just, it drives me nuts. It just drives me nuts. And, you know, you got these debunkers out there. Some of them are good people. I'm not knocking them. But, you know, there's a couple in particular that say, I don't believe in ghosts and I don't believe in demons. I'm like, well, then how can you debunk anything?
Right.
You have to at least have an open mind. That's all I ask. Is it possible? How are you possible? How am I possible? How did we get here? Everyone must have some kind of beliefs in some kind of supreme being. You know, how did we get here? I mean, you know, but if you're looking to get into the work, try to find someone or a team that has at least been around for a while. They have an established reputation, you know, and that's hard. It's not easy. I've gotten calls from clients of people that said, you know, I just group come in here, they had all this equipment, very impressive, you know, set up, and had 12 people show up on my house, and, you know, they're into it for a couple hours, and something happened, and they couldn't pack up and leave fast enough. Now they won't return my calls, because they got scared.
Right.
All right, I don't do public investigations. I will for a good cause, for charity, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I've done private cases. I help families, and they're looking at you like the expert, like, Joe, what's going on? Am I crazy? You know, this is what we're experiencing, you know, but there's a whole process to that. That's why I call it paranormal research. Anybody can call themselves an investigator. You need to be a researcher. The investigation is part of the research, but you got to put in the time. And for me, it's 40 years. For other people, like maybe my friend John, it's 50-something years.
Right.
That doesn't mean you know everything, but at least you have that knowledge and expertise built up. I haven't been dabbling this for 6 months, and I watch, you know, these TV shows. I don't want to call any of them out, but some of them are pretty well done. I watch them, and I'm entertained by them. But they're not educating people the right way. They're looking to entertain you. They're looking to sell equipment. People spend, like you said, they go into hock, buying this equipment that, well, it must work because so-and-so used it. You know, this is the latest and greatest. All you're doing is making somebody else rich. I don't believe in most of this equipment. When I started, you know what I used it for? I used a compass, you know, right. To see, you know, but of course, you know, I'd get frustrated. I apologize. But, you know, just making other people rich. Some of this equipment, I go, that may work, you know, and it may. I'm not knocking it all, but, you know, you go to this, now they have these ghost hunter places to where you could buy equipment from. And I don't want to knock those people either because it's a business for them. But this isn't a business for me. It's a right. vocation. Again, it's not an occupation. But they need to educate themselves. They need to know how to protect themselves, how to protect their clients. You know, and that's why I have the Holy Sword Apostle, Father Ken and Father Bob. I've got them as my chief spiritual advisors. Because they can teach more on how to protect yourself spiritually.
And they can find information on how to educate themselves, how to follow you and the team by going to your website, right? Tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we just officially launched the website yesterday. My good friend and COO, Bill Slevin, did a great job on the website. It's the warrensociety.com. And we're still adding things to it. But like I said, you can go and learn about a bunch of stuff. If you need help, there's a help button. We're going to be, I'm planning on doing classes. I do them locally here where I live in Connecticut. You know, people love them. Some people just want to come to hear a good ghost story. And other people like, you know, I really want to get into this. I'm like, well, okay. Right. It's not for the faint of heart because usually somebody has an experience like I've had where you get picked up and thrown across the room. I'm done. I'm out. You know, it's like, well, you probably should
educate yourself, folks. Get help from people that know what they're doing and have walked the walk, talked the talk. You have to be prepared for those things. And the stories, they're terrifying. The warnings, chilling. But tonight, we're reminded of something far more unsettling. haunted objects just don't sit on shelves. They sit in our memories, in our fears, and sometimes in our nightmares. Joe Franke walked us through the decades of myth, offering a sobering look at the cost of keeping darkness contained. Maybe Annabelle is just fabric and stuffing, or maybe she is something much more dangerous. The important thing is to not be the one to rush into the room always to find that out. Now, it's been said that when the legend becomes bigger than the facts, print the legend. But again, at what cost? Thank you very much for taking this journey with us tonight. Stay safe, stay aware, and never take the paranormal lightly. Until next week, I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this is our Paranormal 360.